It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
One man was asked over in England, he said, what about hell? They asked him, what about hell? And he said, he gets a little upset and a little, frankly, a little annoyed at people that still talk about hell. He said that hell is actually, it can be any number of things. Hell can be on this earth. Hell is like a child without a parent, like a child going through a store and losing a parent. That's hell to that child. Well, folks, that's not hell according to the Bible. Hell is a place that's real. After you're there, you will believe that there is a hell. First of all, I believe there is an everlasting hell. In the book of Job, in the Old Testament, there are 99 verses dealing with the punishment of the wicked. In the New Testament, God speaks of judgment and eternal punishment 234 times. Don't you tell me that there's not a place called hell. Don't tell me that there's not a place of everlasting punishment. God Himself says in the New Testament alone, listen now, 234 times alone in the New Testament. Now here are a few of those verses. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, Psalm 9:17. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, Proverbs 5:5. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, Proverbs 15:11. Hell and destruction are never full, Proverbs 27:20. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah 5:14. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit, Isaiah 14:15. It is set on fire of hell, James 3:6. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, 2 Peter 2:4. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, Revelation 20:13. Now there are many more verses given, but this is enough for me to realize that there is a real place, there's a real destination for those Savior-rejecting people of this world. There is a place called hell. The Bible makes it clear that hell is eternal. There's two words in the Greek. One is aion, A-I-O-N. I guess that's the way you pronounce that word. I'm not a Greek scholar. Aion. And then there's one, aionos, A-I-O-N-I-O-S. This, of course, speaks of the being of God, the glory of God, the Son of God, His reign, His glory, His throne, His priesthood, His post-resurrected life. And it means eternal or everlasting. Notice the verses now that use these words. Jesus Christ said, and you can turn to this if you like, in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Jesus Christ used these words when He said in this verse, and these shall go away into aionis, everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life, aionis, eternal. Now the same Greek word, aionis or aionis, however you want to say that, describes the duration of the life of the righteous and the duration of the punishment of the unsaved. Therefore, everlasting punishment will last just as long as everlasting life. Preacher, when will everlasting punishment end? When everlasting life ends. When will everlasting life end? When everlasting punishment ends. It's the same. It will go on from now on forever and forever. The unsaved will be in hell as long as God lives, and that will be forever because God will never die. See, He will never cease to be. Dr. Kenneth Wiest, Greek scholar who made a study of hell, how long it would be, studied after such Greek scholars as Moulton, Milligan, Kramer, Thayer, Liddell, and Scott to prove his point. He concluded with these words. Now, after several months of study, I want you to notice what his conclusion was. Thus, God's Word clearly teaches that the sufferings of the lost will be unending. Just one simple sentence. Now, he knew that, but he went to other Greek scholars to find some deep, hidden mystery, to find out if they had any great theological words, and he came up with the same conclusion, that it is unending. It's unending. Jesus Christ said there was an everlasting hell. I was surprised to learn that every time the word hell is used in the Gospels, Jesus Christ was the one who used it. Did you know that? Every time the word hell is used in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is the one who used the word hell. Now, there are several references to this, and I'll not read all those. We'll not go into that tonight. But let me just mention a couple of these. Jesus said that hell is a place where both soul and body will be, Matthew 10:28. Both the soul and body will be in hell. He says it's where there will be a furnace of fire and people will wail and gnash their teeth, Matthew 13:42-50. He says it's where there will be everlasting fire and everlasting punishment, Matthew 18:8-41. He says it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, Mark 9:43-48. He says it's where people see, speak, feel, thirst, reason, remember, and pray in Luke 16. Is hell real? Jesus Christ said it was. He's the one who talked about it in the Gospels. And I believe that according to everything I know about men of God believe in a literal, everlasting hell. Let's look at some of them. Let's listen to what some of these great men of God have to say about hell. I think everybody's familiar with the name John Wesley. John Wesley, a great man of God. He says, put your finger in the candle. Can you bear it for 1 minute? How then will you bear to have your whole body plunged into a lake of fire burning with brimstone? Dr. Henry Ward Beecher said this, I do not accept the doctrine of hell because I delight in it. I would cast in doubts if I could, till I had filled hell up to the brim. I would destroy all faith in it, but that would do me no good. I could not destroy the thing. I cannot alter the stern fact. The exposition of future punishment in God's Word is not to be regarded as a threat, but as a merciful declaration. If in the ocean of life over which we are bounded for eternity there are rocks and shoals, it is no cruelty to chart them down. It is an imminent and gracious mercy. In other words, it's not wrong to mark down the pitfalls of life. It's not wrong to warn people about hell, is what he's saying. It's doing them a great favor to let them know that there is a hell. Another man says, I feel constrained to speak freely to my readers on the subject of hell. I believe the time has come when it is a positive duty to speak plainly about the reality and eternity of hell. No man can honestly read the four Gospels and fail to see that he who would follow the example of Christ must speak of hell. Sam Jones, a great man of God, he says the legitimate end of a sinful life is hell. D.L. Moody, the same Christ that tells us of heaven with all its glories, tells us of hell with all its horrors. The same Bible that tells us of heaven tells us of hell. R.A. Torrey, this was a great man of God, and he makes a statement here, and he's not bragging, he simply wants to get a point across. He says, I claim to be a scholarly preacher. I have a right to so claim. Now, R.A. Torrey was the man who took over D.L. Moody's work. D.L. Moody died, okay? R.A. Torrey was a lawyer, very smart man. He says, he says, I have taken 2 degrees, specializing in Greek in one of the most highly esteemed universities of America. I have written between 30 and 40 different books which have been translated. I am told into more languages than the books of any other living man. I say this simply to show that I have a right to call myself a scholarly preacher. Yet I believe the old-fashioned Bible doctrine regarding hell. In other words, he wasn't so smart that he didn't forget hell. He was really smart. He remembered hell. C.H. Spurgeon, he says, but in hell there is no hope. They have not even the hope of dying, the hope of being annihilated. They are forever, forever, forever lost. On every chain in hell there is written forever. In the fires there blazes out the word forever. Up above their heads they read forever. Their eyes are galled and their hearts are pained with the thought that it is forever. Oh, if I could tell you tonight that hell would one day be burned out and that those who were lost might be saved, there would be a jubilee in hell at the very thought of it. But it cannot be. It is forever. They are cast into utter darkness. Once again, Billy Sunday said that after 5 minutes, you will not be in hell 5 minutes until you believe that there is one. A.C. Dixon said, if we had more preaching of hell in the pulpit, we might have less hell in the community. And I say amen to that. We need to preach hell. We need to let people know that there's a punishment coming to those who refuse to do as God says they are to do. Not only do godly men say there's a hell, but even unsaved men says there's a hell when they are dying. The atheist. Voltaire is the man. Isn't he the one that said in 15 years, this book will be out of existence? The book would be gone. Now notice what he said about hell. He says, I am abandoned by God and man. Doctor, he's on his deathbed. He says, Doctor, I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months' life. The doctor answered, Sir, you cannot live 6 weeks. Voltaire replied, Then I shall go to hell. He died shortly thereafter. Francis Newport, he says, that there is a God I know because I continually feel the effects of His wrath. That there is a hell I am equally certain, having received an earnest of my inheritance there already in my breast. I have despised my Maker and denied my Redeemer. I have joined myself to the atheists and profane and continued this course under many convictions till my iniquity was ripe for vengeance and the just judgment of God. Whither am I going? Damned and lost forever. God has become my enemy, and there is none able to save me. His voice failed, and he began to struggle and gasp for breath, which having recovered with a groan dreadful and horrid, as if it had been more than human, he cried out, Oh, the suffering pangs of hell and damnation! And then expired. He was slipping into hell, folks. He was going into hell, and he realized it. He knew it. Sir Thomas Scott, he says, Until this moment, I thought there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Not only do men of God say that there is a hell, not only did Christ say there is a hell in the Gospels, He's the one who said it in every one of the instances in the Gospel, but unsaved men say that there is a hell on their deathbed.
You've been listening to the first part of a message I preached about hell. Do not miss the conclusion of the message, Hell, on our next program. Hell is a sad subject. If you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you were to leave this life right now, the sad truth is you would be in hell. The good news is no one has to go to hell. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not ask Christ into your heart right now? Admit you are a sinner. Admit that Jesus is God. Admit that you can't save yourself. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. He shed His blood that you could go to heaven. Ask Him to save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.